Welcome to Brief and Deep with Tim and Ryan.
Thank you for joining us while we tackle our next topic.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Brief and Deep. I'm Tim.
And I'm Ryan.
And today we're going to be talking about a very good topic that we both really feel passionately about. Mm-hmm. This one's about failing and why failing's good.
Yeah. I know that sounds weird, but we embrace failure around here, and there's a reason for that, and it's particularly because we like to learn quickly as well.
Yeah, I think that we can sum up this whole episode at the start here by asking the question, is it okay to fail? And the answer is yes.
Yes, resounding yes.
So we're going to go into some detail about why, some different ways to think about failure, and some things to keep in mind next time you are attempting something and you fail. And hopefully, this will encourage you to go out and fail.
And fail well.
Yeah, failing well.
Yep.
Failing quickly,
mm-hmm.
but not quitting too early, because there's a difference there, which we'll go into as well.
Yep.
But learning from failure, because without the failure, you won't have success.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole reason we started doing this, was to help people find more success.
Correct.
Definitely. First thing to sort of touch on, normally we do like to cite some scientific data and tests, stuff like that.
Yep.
This is a very hard topic to do that with because it's very psychological.
Yes.
And it's not exactly black and white. There are some rules that are very continuous throughout the whole thing.
Yes.
But it's not like if you get water to 100 degrees, it's going to boil. And there are many tests
on
that.
It's not black and white. It's not black and white. But there are some tests that have been done that have...
It's not completely in the wilderness.
Yeah, it's not completely in the wilderness. Some scientists have actually tested this, and they've usually tested in the realms of, say, intelligence or physical pursuits. So, for instance, they get 10 people to try and kick a ball over an American football field goal, right?
Yeah.
And they attempt to do that for 10 different shots, and those people that made, I don't know, 5 to 10 of them, deemed that as a success, and the ones that didn't deemed it as a failure, obviously, because that might have been the metric they were going off, getting half of them in. Now, the people that... if you ask those same people at the end how high the goal was and how far away the goal was, the people that failed are more likely to say that that goal was further away or was higher in the sky
mm-hmm.
than the people that actually made the shots, because they're going to say, oh, that was easy. It was a low goal. It was pretty close. And that's entirely... how human psychology starts to think about these things, and that's why the way that you fail is more important than the failure itself
mm-hmm.
In most aspects of your life, because putting things into the perspective that helps you succeed on the next step of your life is incredibly important.
Definitely. Failure is one of those topics as well that you have motivational speakers and TED Talks, for example, the
mm-hmm.
first one comes to mind, love to talk about, because failure is an experience that we all share.
Yes.
Everyone at this point listening to this has failed at least once or twice.
If you haven't, you're lying, and that is
you
a fail.
You are lying. You're failing at being honest.
Yes.
So you're failing right now.
Yeah.
The reason why they like to talk about this topic is because it's an experience everyone shares.
Mm-hmm.
It's a motivating topic. It's an uplifting topic. It's just one of those things that everyone goes through. So why not learn how to deal with it in a positive way? Failure is a good excuse or chance to take what's called the slow route.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to go through, learn some things on the way through.
Mm-hmm.
It might give you ideas you didn't have before. So we'll go into that later as well about how failure can help breed innovation. It can give you a different perspective
mm-hmm.
on what you're doing, trying to achieve. It can even give you a different perspective on life, like a larger, different perspective. It can be everything from a minor perspective change, from maybe next time, instead of putting this over here or turning the oven up to preheat at this temperature, I turn it down next time. So you've learned from your failure.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be I started doing this, failed at it. So now that's not for me. I'm going to try a different thing.
Correct.
And then you can go from there and still take the lessons with you from
yeah.
that failure.
Correct. And that lets you build on those failures for your next pursuit. Like if you're going
Definitely.
After something else that's new, you don't just throw the baby out with the bathwater, and you take your learnings and you move on to something better and greater. Even if it's in the same domain, it can be. But yeah, there's always learnings you can have, and if you decide to say, oh, I failed at X, and
mm-hmm.
then say all of my learnings from that as well, handball them away and never think about them again, well, you've actually double failed, Because if you decide that a failure has happened, because it's a personal decision if you've decided it's a failure,
mm-hmm.
because you only basically fail when you decide to finally give up on something, right?
Yeah.
That's basically the definition of failure. It's like, I've given up on X.
Yeah, I didn't make the goal, so I'm not attempting it.
Yeah, so that means I've failed, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you decide not to take those learnings as well, yeah, that's, as I've said, a double failure because you've now...
Yeah,
given away that opportunity to learn.
That's bad fail.
Never give away your opportunity to learn from something. It's because that is something that no one can take from you. Like, that is something that no one can give to you either, unless you're starting to learn from other people's failures in things like books and articles and news around the world. You can see where things go wrong, and you can make sure you implement stuff in your life so that doesn't happen to you. So it's how humans collectively and singularly strive to get better.
Yeah, definitely. One interesting thing you touched on there, we'll probably go into a little bit now, I mentioned as well, is failing fast without quitting too early.
Yes.
So it's important to understand that hitting the first little adversity isn't a reason to quit, mm-hmm. and that is a bad fail.
Correct.
That is a bad fail. So give it a go, and when you're satisfied with how hard you've given a go, and you're still falling short, and you know why you're falling short and what you've done wrong, and what you can take from that,
mm-hmm.
would probably then be a good time to... fail.
Yes, and now that's
better than just going, oh, this is too hard, and yeah. walking away. You haven't
that
learned
leads,
anything.
That leads to the persistent side of failure.
Yes.
So in general, persistence is sort of the enemy of failure. It sort of rebuts it away. It keeps it out of your life for
it
a
can.
Certain period of time.
Yeah.
But
which is where failing fast is yeah. that thin line.
Yes, but that also depends on if your persistence in that regard is, let's say, logical persistence, or if it's an insanity level persistence. So, like, there's a lot of goals that you can have that you may sort of not mentally fail at them, but realistically they're not achievable. Now, that's really a downer on some things that people have as goals, but those sort of bits of your mentality are parts that you've got to use to frame your next set of goals. Now, if that particular goal that you really don't want to mentally fail, but you've already kind of physically failed it, it's already done, you need to take that, learn from it, and push it into another direction so that you can use that passion
yep.
and springboard it into something else.
Yeah, definitely. Guess now we'll just sort of jump into the next part is changing the way you think about failure, which is what we've already sort of started on, but...
Mm-hmm.
go a bit more in depth into that.
Mm-hmm.
Just simple things like just thinking that the past doesn't equal the future. Because you failed at something already doesn't mean you're going to always fail, because if you learn, you shouldn't. That's how people become miserable.
Yeah, and that's actually a really good point, and it's one of the more deeply rooted points in failure and psychology, is that if you fail something and you don't sort of keep your mindset and your emotions in check with that failure, you then actually start to see your next goal as being further away. As we mentioned earlier, and
the goalpost.
Yeah, you start to see that now. So then, instead of failing at something, you're scared of failing at something, and then you don't attempt that new thing because you're like, "Wow, I don't even want to have a chance of failing. I give up." You give up before you even started. So you've failed at failing.
Yes, fear of failure, I think, is way more damaging than failure.
I agree.
Just 100%. The other one is, another way to look at it is, there's no failure, there's learning.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we're going to use the word failure a lot, you're going to hear it. It's more a learning opportunity. It's not actual full-on failure. It's not the end of the world. It's a learning opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than thinking win or lose, it's sometimes we win, sometimes we learn.
Yeah.
It's probably the way I like to think about it. Yeah. That helped me the most.
Well, failure doesn't have to be loss, right? Like
no.
A lot of people equate failure with loss.
No.
And
they are not synonymous.
No, they're not synonymous. And it's actually, a lot of the time, one of the sort of major parts of human perspective that starts to try and treat all failures the same way. So that's a critical thing in your own brain. So like at the moment of a failure, you might think, wow, this is the worst thing in the world.
Mm.
But then if you put into perspective of something else that worse that could have happened, it probably isn't the worst thing in the world. And we've got a couple of different examples of different levels of failure that we've sort of had a bit of a brainstorm about.
Yep.
That some people often equate to being on the same level when they're in the moment. And you'll start to hear this and you'll be like, wow, this sounds pretty silly. And it is, realistically, if you think about it logically. But at the time, many people get stuck on these points. So some examples, we've got sort of four different levels here that we've been thinking of. So like on your level sort of one failure, so your basic failures, we'll call them.
Yeah, stuff that you encounter frequently.
Frequently, yeah. So this might be like cooking your dinner, like your steak, or baking a cake, or...
Bad cook.
Yeah. Or if you're playing a D&D or something, you're painting miniatures or...
Video games. Playing, I didn't even think of that before.
Yeah, yeah, you're losing in a video game. You've failed at your diet today because you've had a chocolate bar accidentally instead of...
Big trap.
Yeah, and then a lot
of people throwing the towel.
Or you haven't gone to the gym. Now, all of those, some people can completely give up on cooking for a week if that happens. Yeah. Some people can say, oh, I've messed up my diet once. This might be on a Tuesday morning. They're like, I'll start next Monday again. Yeah,
big trap people fall into.
And then you've lost a week's progress for one chocolate bar. And like that's a massive overreaction that a lot of people have for a level one failure.
Mm.
Now, stepping up from that, we've got a level two level failure. These ones are, in your mind, are probably a little bit more impactful, but at the time are on the same, almost the same level in your mind as a level one failure. And they can also, you can come back from them too. And we were thinking about those and we're like, oh yeah, failing an entry exam or something. So like applying to be something new. So that might be something you can keep applying for if you fail, but you might take a huge hit to your self-confidence and your...
Yeah, if you don't look at it the right way.
And if you don't look at it the right way, because you could say, oh, well, I didn't get in this time. What can I do better next time? Is there a way I can learn from that mistake? Like, can I be better in my sort of preparation for that exam? In order to succeed. Like that also applies to like driving tests and applying for new jobs and getting promotions at work. All of those sort of things, they seem in your life, they seem super impactful.
Mm.
But if you sort of step back and look at it as a moment in time and that you can do it again,
yep,
it's not that big of a deal.
No.
And that's sort of some things that people fail at, that might set them on a bad track for like 3 or 4 months. And that's... Like just
the road to recovery from that mindset is long and it takes its toll on you.
Yeah. Like think about this. A lot of effort. Think about your friend comes up to you and goes, oh man, I failed my driving test. And then in their mind, they're like, shit, I'm so terrible at driving. I never want to do it again.
How many people when we were 18, which is when you get your driver's license, knew at least someone, even people listening to this, would know at least someone who failed their driving test and were so ashamed by it, they didn't tell anyone. And some people were even so scared of failing that they didn't tell people they were going for their license.
Yep. And now, let's just say that happened. That person comes to you. What are you going to tell them? You're going to be like, hey man, that's all good. You can just go again another time.
Yeah.
Just practice again, go again.
Yeah, 10 years later, it doesn't feel like... Yeah. Like, if I'd have failed my first driving test, now I wouldn't care.
No, because you would have got it by now and you would have done it again and
would
have been fine. And... That's sort of why we've sort of put that in the level two failure category, sort of, because you can recover from all of these and they're...
Bit more of a hit.
Bit more of a hit, but still putting it in perspective, it's just another opportunity to learn.
Yeah, promotion, job interview.
Yep. Same thing, yeah. Just chat about them before and they're pretty much on the same role. Like, but the job interview is probably more frustrating because you've also got that like mental hit plus financial hit at the same time. You're probably not really enjoying that fail. No one enjoys...
Failure,
but you can use it as a learning experience of how to present yourself better next time.
Yeah, I definitely brought that example up again because there seems to be a lot of social anxiety, I guess you'd say, like collective anxiety in Australia at least, about jobs, job interviews, finding jobs, to the point where at our most recent federal election, they were saying everyone who has a go gets a go, jobs, jobs, jobs. They just drum
it into people so that people have got so anxious about getting a job and thinking that they don't fit in if they don't have one that it
and then
becomes...
You fail an interview and you think, oh, shit.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I'm not smart enough to get one of those everyone-gets-a-go jobs.
Yeah.
And it's not the case.
No,
it's not the case because in most scenarios, there are other ones you can apply for. It is always challenging that job market, but you can't let that beat you down.
Yeah, definitely. I've had two... times now where I've gone for complete change of industry with my jobs. I was a baker for 11 years and I thought I don't want to do this anymore. I want to try sales and I thought I like cars. I know about cars. I'll try car sales. I applied for not just car sales, but other sales jobs, mainly focusing on car sales jobs because I thought that would be the learning curve would be smaller. I applied for 127 jobs,
mm-hmm.
and I got one interview, mm-hmm. and I managed, luckily, to land that one job interview, but the failure of not hearing back from everyone else is a smaller failure than falling the job interview.
Yeah.
I could have given up. So many people are like, it's so hard to find a job.
They've applied for two or three.
Yeah, or they apply for 10, and they're like, I've applied for so many jobs. I applied for 127,
yeah.
and I got one interview, but I kept applying for jobs.
Yeah.
To the point where the next time I changed job industry, I got out of car sales, mm-hmm. and I went to what I'm doing now, sales still, but it's for an engineering company. I just wanted to get away from car sales work Monday to Friday to help fit my lifestyle better mm-hmm. at this point in time. I applied for another 160 jobs
yep.
to get out of car sales. Both times, this time I didn't just have one job interview. I had three and two jobs I didn't get. One I just flat out didn't get.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one I went there and I decided even if they offer it to me, I probably won't take it.
Yeah.
So they didn't offer it to me, so I wasn't too upset about that.
Yeah.
But they're two examples just with job interviews where you just keep going. And then every time I didn't hear back or whatever, I thought, what can I do to get more attention about me to get a call back?
Now, did you ever change anything about the way you're applying any of these times?
I did.
As a learning experience? Like, so what sort of things did you change as a result of those minor failures?
Cover letter.
Yeah.
Definitely. I made sure I had a cover. For starters, I went from no cover letter to a cover letter.
Did the ones that you landed have cover letters?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Put a cover letter, made it more personalised for that not company. That exact company, yeah. but to make it sound like it could be, so it could apply for four companies.
Yeah.
So I'm not doing one cover letter every single time. That helped, once again. Job that I got called back for had that.
Yeah.
And the interview process as well, being confident in the interview process and
yeah.
and all the rest of that.
See, I was a little bit more blessed in the job market when I used to go for jobs. because now I just work for myself and I sort of do everything through osmosis now. But when I was applying for jobs, I've had like 15 in my life anyway. But as every time I went for one, I at most would have two companies that I'd apply for and usually get interviewed by both. And like I was pretty blessed in that regard. And that was also down to the same sort of thing, was you have to be applying in a way that you look like you're going to be solving the problem that company has.
Oh, definitely. And you have to have confidence as well. My most successful job interview, and even well after, mm-hmm. the managers that were in the interview with me still talked about how that was their favorite interview ever, and that's because I was interviewing them for the position as much as they were interviewing me.
Yeah. And that's sort of two different ends of the same spectrum.
Mm.
See, Tim's got heaps of persistence there. If I got hit that many times now, I probably wouldn't be able to take it. Because I'm used to succeeding in interviews so easily, I wouldn't be able to get as much persistence done as Tim. But at the same time, there's as you can see, what I'm trying to get to here is that different types of failures affect people differently.
Exactly.
And comparing yourself to somebody else's level of failure for something or someone else's response to that.
Yeah, your fails are your own.
Yeah, they're completely your own, and almost nobody besides big haters. people actually care about your failures.
Yeah.
And if someone does care that you failed and it's not in a positive way, they're not trying to help you through it, then they're not worth being around anyway. So you've got an easy one there to just yoink out of your life.
we are going to do an episode about yoinking people out of your life. Probably more professionally called social circles and saying no to people.
The ability to yoink, yeah.
The learning to yoink is... quite a large step in becoming a successful adult, I believe it all. So what is on at level three?
On level three, now other people might not agree with this because we've sort of put them on levels that we think are...
It was hard to sort of grade them.
It is hard to grade them because they all come in sort of about the same.
But hopefully you see our point.
But see now, in level three, we've got sort of short-term relationships like going on new dates, your Tinder dates, all that sort of stuff, or your new boyfriend, girlfriend that you've been around for a couple of months.
Couple weeks, two, three months.
Yep. And then you've also got like stuff like side hustles and stuff in that similar vein. Like stuff that has just begun, but you don't want to fail.
This stuff has the potential to really stop you from doing stuff. The other two levels we're talking about, like your cooking... your diet, you'll fail your diet, you'll feel like, oh no, I failed that one day, and then you might not try that diet again, but you will try a diet again most of the time.
Yep.
Level two, entry exam, driving test. Most people take a driving test again. They do hurt your confidence more, which is why we put them at that level.
Mm-hmm.
This level is the sort of stuff where if you do fail at these couple of things like your side hustle, you might not, you're at the point now where you might not try a side hustle again, because last time you tried it, you failed. So this is a bit more detrimental, this level.
Yeah, I can personally say that there have been points on that level that have stopped me for months of giving something else a crack. And that's just like a mental thing where I could have definitely turned around and gone straight back into another thing and tried something else. And many people are probably the same. But there are times, like there was one side hustle I did that took me about a year to recover from, because it was almost at the established business level, and that's sort of where I took the hit the most. It's not just a self-confidence, it's also you feel like you've started to let people down and other things. And
doubt your management.
Yeah, you doubt a lot of things, and that sort of is a larger failure. And it took me a while to realize that learning from that is more important than the rest of it. And all the people that I thought that I might have let down or whatever in those sort of scenarios, I went and spoke to them all, and they're like, no, you didn't let me down, it's all fine, what are you talking about? And it was all in my head that was what was slowing me down. Now from that, it's sort of now I springboard and I'm able to do new ideas and new things really quickly and not be so worried about the consequences of them, unless, like, obviously you don't want to hurt people or anything with what you're doing. That's a general thing.
Yeah,
but if you
gotta be a good
but
person.
I can wake up in the morning now and go and give a new idea a crack, work with some new people, grab a new client, do something, and not be worried that something will go wrong, because you can't always look at things being the worst case scenario, or you will fail. you'll fail to start. Failing to start is worse than failing at the actual thing that you're trying to do.
It is. Failure to launch
is
much worse than failing at something.
Yeah. So that's sort of on the level three.
Yep.
Now, still both of those things, you can recover. You can get another Tinder date. You can find another person to date.
Yep.
You can also start another side hustle. Those sort of things are all things you can do over.
Mm.
And be pretty okay with after a short amount of time. It does take a little bit to get over, but if you have your mindset in check, then it can be a lot easier to get over.
Yeah, we're not saying that you'll be impervious.
No, you don't have to be impervious. you're not robots.
No.
No. We're just trying to show you that there are different levels of failure, and at the time in any of these levels, people treat them the same in their mind, and that's where you trip over and you keep hitting your own self-confidence, and you don't want that to happen.
Yeah, definitely. Now, level four, this is the big one.
Mm-hmm.
This has a few things in it that people will feel like giving up.
Yep.
And it's more of a crushing feeling when these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone will experience every one of these. Some people might not experience any of them,
mm-hmm.
but still, these are all times to improve. The last example is a good one, because there are a lot of examples of people recovering from that,
mm-hmm.
and then achieving. So on level four, we came up with marriages and long-term relationships. That is a crushing failure.
Yeah, losing a partner that you've been with for over 1 year, I guess.
Yep.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Long-term relationships is over a year in my mind.
Yeah, yeah, and those
living together.
Yeah, those sort of relationships, they seriously damage you for a while. Like you don't feel confident at all. You don't want to go out and find someone new. You don't need any of this. And all your friends are sitting around going, let's get back on the horse, get you out there. And like, that's all well and good. You might not want to at the time, because that's just a personal thing. But at the same time, even failures of that level,
you can
recover from.
And you can learn.
If you start to say, hey, that wasn't right for me. Yep. I've realized where we've gone wrong.
Yep.
And you could actually get back together with that person, but if you don't, and you just have to move on, you have to realize the reasons why,
mm-hmm.
and say, oh, well, maybe I didn't give that person enough respect, or
maybe I didn't love myself enough.
Maybe I didn't love myself enough. Maybe I didn't give each other enough space. When you start figuring out those differences and problems that led to the inevitable collapse of one of those relationships, you can then use that as sort of a basis to say, I'm not going to do that to someone again in the future when I get to that next point.
Yeah.
And it might not ever have been quote unquote your fault for the breakup, but there's always a fault on both sides. No two people that love each other eventually just break down for no reason.
Po body's nerfed.
Yeah, everybody's nerfed is a good way to put it.
So the next one after that is established businesses. So it's not a side hustle. You've actually got it set up. It's a registered business.
Got some employees, maybe. Some serious customers that rely on you.
Yep. You could even be a self-employed landscaper, but it's actually a business.
Yep.
And it falls. You just can't get the profits above the operating costs.
Yep.
And you just got to quit. That point, a lot of people can then be like, I tried doing my own business and I failed at it and I'm done, and then they'll go get a job and that's the last time they try.
And never do it again.
It feels bad.
Yep.
But a lot of people, the best, most successful people that came up with the biggest companies, did this at least once.
Or many times.
Yeah. That's what I mean. At least once, they had a business that didn't work and that failed, and then they had to learn from the failure and then go on from there and start another business. And there's just so many examples of people who did that. For people who aren't started their own business, a similar aspect to that, or comparison to that, would be getting fired.
Yep.
Which a lot of people, once again, experience, not everyone. Mm-hmm. But if you get fired from your job, that can be pretty crushing as well.
Yeah, it can. It can be super crushing. And see, for I think you're a similar vein here, Tim. But for people like myself, I've got to the point where I'm like, getting fired, it sucks. Like you feel sad, you're upset, and everything like that, and it all comes all at once. But at the same time, you've got that whole aspect of your life where you're like, well, you know what, working is not my whole life. If I've been focusing only on working, I've been neglecting the rest of these things that I could be taking on. And you can start to learn what went wrong in that business relationship, and you can use that to teach you not to do these things again, or to look out for whoever ruined it at that time, or figure out which colleague sort of threw under the bus, figure out why that happened, how did you treat them leading up to that the years before. Like,
maybe you didn't take on responsibilities in the company that you should have yourself, and you got found out for it.
Yeah, there are a lot of parts of that that are out of your control, but there are also a lot of it that's in your control that you can use to learn from and learn from. And I had a quick thought while we were talking about the point before that with the businesses failing earlier.
I saw you bring this up, and I thought this ties in well with getting fired as well, because I do know this story too.
Well, yeah, and you're welcome to talk about it then, because you probably know it even better than me. But the general idea is that everybody knows KFC. KFC's
old Colonel,
the old Dirty Bird.
Colonel
Sanders had failed many things and been fired a few times from different things throughout his life.
At the end, he even got fired and got so depressed about it, he went to a park and thought about that was it for him. He didn't have enough money to retire on, and he was 65 years old.
Yep.
And he had nothing left.
Yep.
And so he thought, right then, he started listing the stuff that he was good at. And one thing he was good at was, he had a chicken recipe that he liked.
And he liked making fried chicken.
So he thought he wanted to share his chicken recipe with his neighbours.
Yep.
So he went home and he made up some chicken and he went door to door. Now, how good would this be? Door to door chicken.
And it's like Uber Eats, but in the 50s.
Yeah. And he went door to door and he started selling his chicken to people, and then they started buying it. So he bought more chicken, and he's doing it because he's like, I failed at everything, and this is my last, I will starve to death if this doesn't happen for me. And then he ended up having enough money to buy a site so he could do it off site, and people could come to him instead of him going door to door anymore. Then he could hire people.
Yep.
KFC.
Yeah. So he failed his entire life over and over again.
He failed his entire life. He had everything that we've mentioned here, he failed at.
Yeah.
Probably even baking a cake, I guess, at the start. Yep. He would have failed promotions, job interviews, short-term relationships. He had a long-term relationship breakup as well, twice.
Yep.
With his kids as well. He went through all that. Side hustles he tried a lot of times, which didn't end up working out for him. Established business. I don't think he actually ran an established business because he couldn't get that far at that point.
Yeah, I don't know enough about him, but given that a general idea, you start to sit there and you're like, wow, this guy's persevered through a lot of different parts of adversity and failure there. And at 65 years old, started his own business of selling chicken. And that business is still one of the strongest chicken brands in the world till today.
Definitely. So from now on, when you're driving down the street, you see that big KFC sign with the Colonel's face. Don't think of him as the face of fried chicken. He is a face of failure. And he's everywhere.
Yeah. And that happens to a lot of those big businesses that you guys all take for granted these days that exist. Whether or not you agree with eating fried chicken that's bad for you and things like that.
I love it.
Yeah, it doesn't. That doesn't really matter, because what we're talking about here is the ability for someone to succeed through failure and learn from their mistakes and using failure as a springboard for greater things.
Yeah, and how happy does he look in those signs?
Oh, he's always happy.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't be happy if they were eating that much fried chicken?
Two other examples of people who failed that come to my mind straight away. Everyone's heard about them. Michael Jordan and Oprah. Oprah, when she was younger, was actually fired from a TV network, a local TV network, and told that she didn't have a future in television.
Imagine that. Imagine that producer these days.
Yeah, Oprah.
They're just like, you know what? I fired Oprah.
Yep.
Nice. See, now, that sounds like Oprah's failed by being fired, but I think that that producer has failed way bigger.
Yep.
It's way, way bigger.
You could argue without that fail, Oprah wouldn't be as big as she was now.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, both of them failed, but still, it's failure. It's a good example of failure. I recommend everyone listen to Michael Jordan talk about failure. He's one of the biggest advocates for failure I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
One of his go-to lines is 26 times he's been trusted with the game-winning shot and missed.
Imagine that. Imagine the pressure, and then imagine losing it for your team.
Yep.
And then still being trusted the next time because they still think you're best on the court.
Yep. He also, a couple other things about Michael Jordan, because he wasn't the most talented basketballer growing up, but he was the most determined, and he learned from failure, and that really gave him the base for him to jump off in his career.
He's out-trained every basketballer in history, no doubt. He definitely has out-trained them all.
He definitely has. He tells you he missed over 9,000 shots, which are tiny little failures, but every single time, didn't stop him. In high school, he got cut from his basketball team.
Because
he wasn't good enough, and he went home and cried.
Just imagine cutting Michael Jordan from a basketball team.
Yeah. He could have stopped playing basketball at that point.
Yep.
But he didn't, and he won 6 NBA titles.
Mm-hmm.
That is an insane amount.
If we relate this back to normal humans,
yes,
that would be the equivalent of probably losing your job, yes, and then not going for another one if you decided not to.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, on that scale of things, of thinking, your failure at a job is probably nothing in comparison to those guys going on to being massively successful, but it could be if you use your failure.
If you let it.
Be the same. You need to turn that failure into a springboard, as I've said so many times this episode. Just take what you've stuffed up and just use it to power your next big thing.
Yeah, definitely. Facebook encourages... What's their slogan again? They encourage people to do this sort of stuff.
Yeah. Facebook has... They have a slogan which is now slightly changed, I believe, because in the later years they had to focus more on stability.
Mm-hmm.
But for their first at least 8 years that I remember, Mark Zuckerberg coming out on stage and constantly saying, move fast and break things. That is because they embraced a culture of change that inevitably always leads to failure.
Yep.
There are so... Like, software's a big, soft, squishy zone where failure is so much easier to overcome than most other endeavors, because you can fail quickly, change the feature, and all of a sudden you've pivoted to something much better. And that sort of startup mentality of pivoting is a massive reason why so many big companies that exist today still exist.
Mm-hmm.
So think about, say, Facebook itself. That started off, firstly, with a few different apps that Mark and his friends were creating in their dorm rooms at, I believe it was Harvard, college, or Stanford. One of those two. Harvard, I think it was.
It was a good college.
Yeah. But they were sort of making random things like hot or not apps and all those sort of things that if you release them today, if he released that today, he'd get absolutely... But he'd get crucified releasing that if you made it hot or not.
Yeah.
Whereas even though... Now, Tinder's just yes or no, not hot or not. So it's a personal choice of whether it's hot or not, right?
Yeah, I guess.
You're still being more judgmental by doing hot or not, but it is the same concept.
I get you.
Now, you start off with that, went into making the Facebook, which ended up being like just an on-campus version of, like, a social media platform for just people that were around the campus. It didn't have relationship statuses. I don't believe there was a news feed at the time. There wasn't any chat. It was just like the equivalent of your MySpace page with a few extra things, like what your interests were.
Mm.
And now look at what it has become.
Yeah.
This story is one that I've sort of picked out because it's relevant to almost everybody that I know in my social circle. Everybody has used or at least been exposed to Facebook at some point in their lives, and you've probably grown up with it in a way and watched this all happen. You can see that all of those iterations and small failures that happen have led to this point.
Yeah, Facebook is so big now after dealing with all the small failures along the way and having that policy.
Mm-hmm.
to the point where I watched a little clip where there was an interviewer and interviewee, and the interviewee was about 1920, so born after 2000, mm-hmm. my point. And the interviewer was giving him things from the 90s, or people that in the 90s would have used, and one of them was a picture of MySpace and Tom. And
yeah.
They go, what's this? And they go, is it like an old version of Facebook or something?
Yeah.
And they go, yeah, it is. And they go, oh, so LinkedIn? But it's to the point where people see stuff that they don't understand now, like younger people, and they go, is that like Facebook?
Yeah.
It's a brand unto itself. It's so large. Like, so you can count the people you meet every day who are under 35 that
yeah.
don't have Facebook. You could count it on one hand, the people mm-hmm. you'd meet in a month.
Yeah.
I reckon.
Even though a lot of them are moving over to things like your TikToks and your Snapchats with more sort of usage time these days,
yep.
all of these social apps...
It's the primary social media app
yeah.
for having a profile and
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
People are getting more entertained by TikTok and Snapchat,
mm-hmm.
but they still have that presence on Facebook. Yeah.
Well, that's also one of the reasons... This is another point of failure with Facebook. Okay? This is another cool reason. There was a point where Facebook was, as I was just mentioning, losing users to many of these new apps. One of them happened to be Instagram, and they were losing a ton of users at
yep.
one point to Instagram, because Instagram had many of the same aspects as a Facebook feed.
Mm-hmm.
More engaging, because it was all photo and video content.
Yeah,
and
sure.
it was a lot easier to like, share, and comment, and all that sort of stuff. And that was engaging a lot more younger users than Facebook was. So what did Facebook do? They just bought it.
Yeah, they bought it.
And that's because they embraced their failure. Like, well, we can't compete with this. Let's just buy it.
Yep.
Now, that's on another level where we start talking about deleting competition. But
we'll probably get to that eventually.
Probably get to that eventually. But like, they did the exact same thing with, I believe it was WhatsApp as well, where they were losing a lot of people to that sort of ecosystem that were trying to talk across overseas.
Mm.
And that it was competing with Messenger. So they bought that too. So now they have the customers off all of them. So that's sort of a whole different kettle of fish, but you can see where Facebook starts to see that one of their wings of their business is starting to fail. They say, what can we do to make sure that that isn't the case?
Yeah.
And that's sort of one of our next points where we're sort of starting to talk about is imminent failure. So failure that's coming up in the future of something. So
yeah,
your life,
the prediction
business.
Of failure. That's
yeah.
When the expression, the writing's on the wall.
Yeah. The writing's on the wall. You can see that failure is coming. It's usually noticeable much sooner than an actual failure happens. This is the time of real failure happens is when you declare it, hey, we failed. That's still it. Like, failure is still an arbitrary thing that someone decides. But at those points, when you notice the writing's on the wall, like Facebook, you can either give yourself a chance to step back, reassess, and start to decide on an action that is going to sort of enable you to continue doing this endeavor and actually not fail, or you can decide if that corrective action isn't going to be worthwhile, you can actually end earlier on whatever that pursuit is and use that quickly to learn something else and create something new. And that's sort of an important part of failure too. Like, failure doesn't have to be so black and white and gray like we've been talking about. It can be a point to reassess and get better.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, we have mentioned this quite a few times as well throughout this episode, that yeah, failure in itself is still always going to be, doesn't matter how large or small a failure is, a line in the sand that you've drawn. So let's say you've got this big timeline of life, it's a big line of sand, you've drawn the line, and you've decided, I'm going to give up on X here. Now, there'll be personal reasons or even public reasons why you've given up there, and they could be positive reasons or negative reasons. It is your choice to try and turn those into positive reasons for any of those failures. And you need to remember that you have the rest of your life after that to continue to improve and continue to do other things. And and letting that failure stop your line there and not being able to continue past that, it's ruining the current timeline that you have. So unless you believe in multiple universes, which probably exists, by the way, but that's another
episode.
But yeah, unless you believe in that sort of thing coming up and the fact that you're going to get reincarnated or something, you can't waste the years you have and sort of stopping back and stepping down from all of your new ideas and goals and possibilities, stopping doing all those things just because you're scared of failure is absolutely unacceptable.
Yeah.
Like that to me, it's unacceptable. So if if you decide it's acceptable to you, well, you're going to have a shallower version of your life, and you're not going to live it to your potential.
Yeah, definitely. I think that might be all the points that we were going to talk about today. I know it's been a bit of a long episode, but it is very important.
Yep.
It's the next building block, I guess, in the series.
Yes.
That we're putting together at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
We have gone through, obviously, previously, if you haven't listened to our previous episodes, we've gone through social media, time management, a bit of money management as well,
yep.
Reading, creative space, inspiration, confidence. I feel this one ties in very strongly to our last episode, confidence, which is why we decided to put it next.
Right after it. Yep.
Right after it. And I hope you can take a lot of lessons from this.
Yes.
Building confidence from failure is probably the biggest one that we had in mind when we decided to do this episode. And the ability to learn from failure.
Mm-hmm.
The two things I'd like to leave you with is just remember that failure leads to innovations. Without failures, there wouldn't be nearly as many innovations as there currently is.
Absolutely.
And the other one is failure is actually a confidence booster and increases self-esteem rather than a confidence killer, if you think about it the right way.
Well, I agree. So, yeah, thanks everyone for tuning in once again to another episode of Brief and Deep. I'm Ryan.
Tim, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Tim Carble.
And I'm at HBTheGreat_HS.
And thanks for listening.
Thank you very much.
This has been Tim and Ryan.
And you've been listening to
Brief and
Deep.